So what we are proposing is that we're going to request Leslie here, who took notes of the first question, to share with us three, four bullet points of what emerges from there. And then John will do likewise for question two. And then we will invite all of us to say a word or two as to what are the next steps, which is the sort of the question, third question implied, what's the investment? I think let's pose it to ourselves. What is our next step? What we would do collectively? And Mike was hinting at that. But let's have a round of conversation after we have heard Leslie and John as key bullet points.
Well, from the earlier discussion, the three key points that came forward, it might be easiest if I refer people to the document that you received before the conference, because if you look under the world of world of knowledge democracy, which is one of the categories, so where we have community university research and engagement in 2030, a scenario, you have under world of knowledge democracy three linked points, and I think these came out very strongly in the discussion, except one of them said that by 2030 there is nearly universal recognition, and I think Leslie made it quite clear that wouldn't be adequate, and so I think we're talking about universal recognition of communities as a source of knowledge production. And really linked to that is not just within a country, with indigenous peoples within a country, but across and all parts of the world. The research and partnership capacities so that they can be effective partners. Because it's all and fine having an idea, as we know, but one has to have the infrastructure there in place as well. And another key point from that same section is really the one that David talked about, the idea of an intelligent society. And the way this is demonstrated, I think David was suggesting, and this seemed to encapsulate some of the other ideas that people had, was that all would be able to engage creatively in discussions of this kind. So it wouldn't just be us sitting here, but one could almost ask anyone on the street, leaving aside the odd accent of those in the west of England, obviously, and whether we could understand them. But the main thing is that they would understand us and they would understand each other, I think. So that was another key point. I think Rajesh's notion that for community engagement to truly be, and this is the third key point, for community university engagement to be seriously, to be taken seriously, we do need a globally accepted ranking system to prioritise university community engagement. And in addition to those things that we also see as important now, research and teaching, but that this university community engagement is absolutely equal and key to what is considered a successful university. And then finally, under the section structures and models, and really linked, I think, to the point I made earlier about the need for research and partnership capacities of community organisations to be strengthened for them to be effective partners. Also, there has to be large-scale and ongoing collaborative dialogue structures, as it says under the section, as I say, structures and models, and between the partners, between community partners and universities on these critical and complex issues, so that it becomes normal business. Business as normal is university-community partnership, and anything that doesn't include that is considered to be odd, strange, and certainly not worth a university being put in Regis's ranking system.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thanks. Now, we're going to put John on the spot. He's had much less time, just to give us some a feel of that second bit of discussion.
Okay, well, here I'll have a go for what was a very rich discussion. I'm not sure these are in the most logical order, but let's see where we get to. I suppose the first bullet point, if you like, is to emphasise the importance of the context in which we are talking about developing engagement activities and prioritising collaboration. A number of people very eloquently pointed to the need to kind of recognise the times that we are in, the potential for transformative change in social attitudes and expectations amongst different groups within society, recognising that context is evolving and the importance of that as a context in which to develop change activity. So I think there were a whole collection of points made that are important in understanding the context, if you like, in which we are looking to develop priorities. So that would be my first kind of headline point, is understanding the context and the contribution that can be made within that context. A second thread, it seemed to me, that was coming through seemed to be encapsulated in one of the contributions from the living knowledge area, was the phrase creating a level playing field. I think that, as a bullet point, will serve very well to focus on a variety of points that were made in different ways by other people about bringing more people into the dialogue, into the exchange, about developing a new language, if you like, a new set of concepts to explain what was to be, what we were trying to do, what was trying to be achieved, extending the notion of learning networks, possibly going as far as linking in with new forms of institution that might emerge as a result of trying to address this whole idea of levelling the playing field. So that's the second area, it seems to me. The third one, I suppose, relates to that. I suppose I've mentioned it in a way, but it is this whole necessity, I think we were all recognising, to extend the range of partners that are involved in this, so that it's more than the typical kinds of arenas for knowledge exchange that go on at the moment between universities and industry and innovation there, but extend the whole range of social issues that we are surfacing in different ways. So it's extending the range of parties, and allied to that, recognising that engagement is a two-way process. Or a multi-directional process, but it is one thing to ask institutions to engage, it's another for others to want to engage with them. So we have to better understand and explain what engagement's about, what the benefits are, and what might be expected, what kind of opportunities engagement opens up. I don't mean that as another job for universities, but it's part of this process of extending the range and extending the basis and understanding of the basis on which exchange is taking place. So that would be my third.
I think, John, we'll let you off the hook at that point.
Yeah. My last one really was, I mean, the phrase that kind of again stuck in my mind was the plea to create a space for exploring all these things, and it was actually creating that space that maybe is one of the priorities that we could work on, actually provide a place where all that can happen. So that would be my fourth bullet point.
Okay, thank you. Well, thanks, John. What we will do is ask Leslie and John to write up some of their notes. These will be incorporated into notes that others have made, and a final communique not too long after this meeting. I'm very aware of the fact that in these arrangements, suddenly people disappear at a set time, and we may have been only given it until 1:30 the hour. So I think we should just move on to just the final thing. So What I'd like to do is just ask you to focus in on one thing that we can do, one promising area for new or expanded investment, as we put it in community university research and engagement, or one practical activity that we should immediately engage in right now, subsequent to this meeting. So can I ask you to be very disciplined and focus only on one thing and 1 minute? So can we start with Christina and Jesus in Barcelona, first of all? Just one thing.
I don't know if I'm going to answer exactly what you have asked me now, but we were discussing here with Jesus that one point that is needed to review is the educational model. We are talking about how we are going to support all these changes, and if we are saying that we have to rebuild society through the through knowledge, we have to think about how we need to educate future citizens. It is not clear for us that the way we are educating people right now should be the best for building new, sustainable, and inclusive world. For asking how we are going to do that, or this one or other, we have to ask what we want to do and how we want to do. This is the educational model. Then I have to choose one thing to invest, is in go deeper, but really deeper, with new approach to what means educating people for next 150 years, for instance. We assumed it should be very different at what we're doing now, but we would like to discuss this in new report that we are working right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Christina. Can we move to Norbert?
One minute, one item. Okay. one suggestion. Expand on. We have to expand our networks. We have to expand our networks, and we have to link our networks. We have to approach individuals, but also groups, NGOs, civil society organizations, enterprises, foundations. We should invite them to share their knowledge, their experiences, and yes, this is just a short thing. And we should be happy to try out new things, not stick to old things, but wherever we find a new inspiring idea, we should try to follow this idea. Thank you.
Okay, let's move back to Susan.
It's just to choose one thing. We're trying to understand how this university community engagement plays out in different political and cultural and social. And so a lot of people are going to be focusing, in addition to the two projects I mentioned, we're going to be focusing some of our efforts on working with the universities in a particular regional context, and try and learn something more about how this is done in very different parts of the world and very different realities.
Thank you, Susan. Can we move to David?
Hi. I would go for the expanding the networks and bringing in boundary spanners and people from outside the group. Aside from that, I'm tempted to say, what happens if you do nothing and if you let other people grow? So if you were working with communities, what would happen in these communities? Would they build their own universities? You know, is that possible? But that's what I tend to do when someone gives you one thing to say. So I would go for, on an instrumental level, expand the networks and bring different people in. But let's be prepared for what happens if we do nothing.
Thanks, David. Can we move to Hank?
Yeah, okay. So I think one of the things you could do is to try to change the existing systems from within. And we in the Living Knowledge Network, we have started a study on economic evaluation of the type of work we are doing. And it turns out that the way we are working is much cheaper macroeconomical for society than if you do this in another way. So we will discuss this discussion paper in the Living Knowledge Conference. So I invite all of you to come there. If that means that we get more money available for the type of work we're doing, the funding councils could change their funding schemes as well. That's also something we want to discuss in the Living Knowledge Network. And we found out that there's a lot of research councils in Europe that don't give anything, well, I won't use crude words, but they don't give anything for civil society-based research. But luckily, there are some in France and Romania, and I think also in the UK, things are shifting that are doing it. So we can learn from them. And finally, within our project, we have set up a lot of experiments to set research agendas, so long-term perspectives together with civil society organizations. And I would also like to invite all of you to join us in our discussions on these ways that we have piloted and try to improve them and to share them. So please all come to the BOM conference May 2010 and join us.
That was probably May 2012, I think, you meant.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Or is it Back to the Future?
Anything's possible. Yeah.
you're the scientists. Let's move to Liam now.
I think I'm definitely, what Susan was saying before about different regional focuses, I think is what makes this big tent so important, because there are different ways in which people define community engagement, different areas where they prioritize, whether it's extension in a very sort of a way that was done in the years past, or the different dialogues happening in different areas. So bringing this together is very important. I think what the advantage of having a network of networks is that we can broaden it, as people have said, which I think is very important, but also deepen it, because I think it is. It's very encouraging, I think, for people who practice community engagement to see and to know that they're not fighting this battle for recognition on their own, but there is something of a global movement. So I think a lot of the examples people have said of things they're doing involve case studies of collaborations and partnerships that are working, that are really quite exemplary. And I think it'd be fantastic if we could find a way to bring these all together, things that are happening with the Child Rights Network, things that are happening with Living Knowledge, all the different networks, and maybe find a few examples of partnerships we've been involved with that have been cost-effective, as Hank says, that it's not always the most expensive option. Sometimes it makes a lot of economic sense to engage in this kind of work. Bring it together and really make sure all of our different members get the opportunity to see all the different things that are happening in different contexts around the world. And I think it could really help to push the momentum of something that's already moving in the right direction.
Thank you very much. Now, I'm just going to very briefly ask the people around the table here if they'd like to say something before we move back to Leslie and Bud at the end of this part of the conversation. So, John, would you like to say anything?
I think I try to pick up on what I said before, what it seemed to me to be the key issue, so I don't think I've got much to add to really what's being said already.
Okay. Leslie?
Yeah, there's only one thing really, going back to discussions earlier, and that is we were talking about the need to ensure that our undergraduates, I think again this is a point that David made actually, that our undergraduates know how to engage and how to, they need the skills to help them know how to learn to do things that people can't yet tell them how to do. So it's not that they would be learning skills about a particular area of learning and understanding, but to be equipped to cope with new things as they come along. But I would say that that's something that does need to start earlier in the schools. So there is then a role for universities, an important part, in other words, of the community that universities engage with as the schools. Right early on, so that people grow up, are educated, realizing that they have not just to learn from others what to do, but also how to think in different ways, how to think flexibly, and not always expect the answers to be given to them.
I'm going to ask Mpoke and Amina if they would like to say anything. They've been very quietly sitting at the back. Is there any thoughts that you'd like to contribute?
Yeah.
Come forward.
Thank you very much. I don't know how much to how to say without repeating or diluting what has been good ideas which has been given, but I would like to highlight maybe three issues. It may be a contribution to any of the three questions which have been given randomly. I'm not going in order. So the first issue is regarding the first question. What I can see in Africa is like a fragmented effort in community university engagement. There is a kind of fragmented efforts, like in universities you find that some departments or units, they have their own initiatives regarding the university community engagement, but there is a lack of comprehensive arrangement at the university-wide strategy. So what I would like to see is a more comprehensive strategy, university-wide strategy, rather than the unit-based or department-based effort. The other issue which has been raised throughout the discussion is the one-way collaboration or engagement, whereby the university is the only one which initiates things rather than the community. So you find that most of the projects are being initiated by the universities, but not by the community. So I would like to see the two-way, as it has already been said throughout the discussion, the two-way sharing or creation of knowledge. And the last issue, which has been also raised by the key points which has been summarized, is the issue of conceptual issues surrounding the issue of engagement, university community engagements. There are problems with the conceptual. How do we conceptualize the community, I mean university community engagement? So maybe we would like to see the clear concept or clear discussion about the issues surrounding that concept. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mpoke. And now Rajesh.
I have been writing to some of you in the last 4 or 5 weeks about a very sudden and important development that has taken place in India. About 6 weeks ago, the Government of India set up Ministry of Higher Education, a task force to strengthen community engagement by institutions of higher education in India. And I am a member of that task force. I have done most of the writing for what is likely to go into the next 5-year plan, including some possibilities of funding that Government of India will put in. If it comes through, we will know about it in a month or two. It will be the most significant policy statement so far by Government of India. So I am making an appeal that I am going to plan next year a show and tell in India, and I hope all of you will find time and ways to get there, because we can shake up that system and it can have some multiplier effects. So I'm really encouraged by this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Rajesh. And we really will be timed out in 4 minutes, I gather. So Bud and Leslie, would you like to spend a minute with your bullet or bullets?
Two points quickly. One is making the most of the May event, the Living Knowledge Network. Secondly, making the most of what will probably be the Gooney World Report on Higher Education, and of course, making the most of the India opportunity, which is really a remarkable opportunity, which we will need to do more. The second point is that perhaps we could consider setting up working groups, maybe 3 working groups. Somebody at maybe, you know, one network on the question of how to broaden the engagement, which is both a linguistic, an economic, and a technological question. a second working group on pulling together some of the policies that we already have so that each of us could have a kind of a policy document. I think somebody like Living Knowledge would be good at that. And so, and thirdly is a conceptual, to continue working on a conceptual framework, which will be an ongoing work, and I think somebody like Mooney would be good for that. So those are my minute.
thank you very much, Bud. And I'll just add that I think one of the ways in which we could perhaps facilitate those particular thematic areas in the future for us to explore might be through using this technology, but expanding it perhaps to webinars, where we ask someone to lead a discussion, and thereby we can involve more than just our own networks in the meetings. But that'll be something for us to discuss. In case we really are going to be timed out in a minute or two, let me thank you on behalf of Pascal and on behalf of the University of Glasgow for spending the last 2 hours with us and for contributing so well to, I think, what has been a very rich discussion. And I also should thank some people, some of whom are here and some have disappeared, Ronnie and Stephen, who facilitated this event, and it's worked very well. We've only lost one of our colleagues in the course of 2 hours, which is not a bad hit rate. And also thank John and Leslie for their work, and thanks to Ken, who has been sitting very quietly to the side and rushed over to get a camera and has recorded most of this event in case there isn't an automatic recording. So if nothing else, we'll have lots of still pictures, and we'll have an audio and a certain amount of video of the discussion, which we will edit and share with you. So, and I should also really thank Rajesh for finding time to come here to Glasgow. As I said, he only came yesterday from Delhi. His flight from Amsterdam this morning was diverted back to Amsterdam for 20 minutes, so he's not only come a long way, but he's been traumatised during the course of the day, and still appears very cheerful. And despite the fact that of the backdrop here, he is very cheerful on what is an extremely wet day in Glasgow. That's not real behind you at all. That was the one dry day during the year. It is pouring with rain.
Thank you. Thank you all.
So thank you everyone for your participation, and we look forward to seeing you, talking to you again in the very near future.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you,
bye-bye.
Mike. Thank you, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye to all. Bye, Susan,
bye.
Leanne.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. No, but bye-bye.
And just be careful what you say, because you may be live for a little longer. Okay, bye-bye.